good to us. And so we're also remembering the Knutson family who had their funeral just recently, last week, and they had to bury their daughter. And it must be so tough. But they're faithful, they're strong, and they believe in Jesus, and we're all looking for this awesome, beautiful day. But today, I'm going to teach you some Russian. How about that? So I'm going to teach you how to say welcome in Russian. Are you okay with that? Okay, let's do this. So repeat after me. Добро. Пожаловать. Again. Добро. Пожаловать. Now let's do it together. Добро пожаловать. Is it good? Again, добро пожаловать. And so my mom and my dad are here today. And I was debating, should I just let them to stand up or come up front? I don't see them very often, so I would ask them to come up here with me so that you can see how both of us. So, можете прийти ближе? Спасибо. Давайте, давайте, давайте. So, this is my beautiful mother, and this is my awesome father, and I'm thankful for them because they're the reason why I'm here today. So, through their sacrifice, hard work, and lots of prayer, they send four of us boys all over the world. And I ended up in America, so I'm very proud of them. They're proud of me. I know that. Both of them work in the Eurasian division in Moscow, Russia. And my father is an assistant to the president of the division and also works at the Adventist Review with the communications. So he does a lot of writing, a lot of communicating with people flying all over the world. And then my mom is a women's director at the division office. So I'm very proud of them. And let us say again, добро пожаловать. Спасибо. Давайте. Я люблю. Давай. And by the way, my dad and I have the same haircuts. I'm heading that way. So, for the little kids up here, I want you to find a piece of paper and a pen. Because throughout the sermon, I want you to catch me saying the word talent. And how many times I'm going to say that word, I want you to tell me that, okay? Okay, great. Let's do that. Okay, I have my clicker with me. So, a week ago on Friday, I have decided to do something. I'm always with my phone, on my phone, anywhere that I go. And it has helped me in so many different ways. But where I caught myself is that I constantly check my phone for no reason. Has that happened to you, or I'm the only one? Yes, and so what I decided to do is to take all of my favorite apps on social media or things that are not necessary for me to survive and to delete it for 1 week. And I did that thinking, oh great, we'll see if I'll be alive by the end of the week. On the following Sabbath, last Sabbath, I went to the Sabbath school and I thought to myself, why am I going to suffer on my own? So I have asked my youth to see, would you guys join me on this talent, on this challenge? And you know what? If you ask anyone to do this challenge, it's not easy. But when you asked a millennial and the kids of our generation, it's like telling them, you're not going to walk for a week. Are you okay with that? And four of them said yes. And four of them said, we're going to try it. Now, we're not sure if I'm going to make it, but I'm really proud of them that they did that with me. And some of them still doing it until the end of this day. And so And then we did announcement, and I ask all of you, anybody who wants to join me in this challenge. So I'm not sure how many of you are on this challenge with me this week. But let me tell you something. As much as I miss apps that I have, I feel refreshed. I feel rested. I feel like, you know, I feel better. This week, I went to Escondido. I went to get lunch. I got my food. I found a table, and I sat at the table. And let me tell you, I checked my email more this week than ever before. And as I sat down, I checked my email. Nothing new came in. And then I look up, because there's nothing else to do. All 20 people who were in that restaurant were looking on their phone. Old, young, middle-aged, everyone. Because obviously there's something so important that we have got to check. So the reason why I'm saying this, Scott, we got to take everybody to our overnight hiking. But honestly, no, this hike is going to be extreme this time. So only those who have experience are going to go on that hike. But if I'm constantly on my phone, no matter what it is, I miss chances in life. I miss the people that are around me. I miss ministry opportunities that I have to use for while I'm looking at my phone. I have also realized if I constantly look at my phone, I will never get married. But just a simple smile and just being happy, positive with people, it can make a difference in somebody else's life. So this week was a reality check for me. When Jesus created you and I, he didn't just give us a talent. He said to us, you are a talent. You are whatever you have. I have made you. You are a talent already. And you have something to offer. And so your belief that you are a talent will change not only your life, but anybody that you get in contact with throughout your life. And so everybody got a gift. We understand that, right? A gift that, when used properly, makes a difference in the world. That's important to remember because it can sometimes be misinterpreted into living a life of passivity, sitting back and waiting on God, doing the work he has placed for us to do. And so he tells us, you are a talent. I want you to go out in the world and make a difference for me. So let us go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25. What is Jesus doing here? Jesus gives his listeners a reality check. Basically, just because you are blessed with all the blessings that God has given to you in your life, doesn't mean that it has been given to you to make you feel better, stronger, smarter, richer than anybody else. And so here we see Jesus talking to us about talents. So let's go to chapter 25, verse 14. This is what it says. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, who is this man traveling? That will be Jesus. Where did Jesus travel to? He came to us. And whose goods did he give away? His. What does that mean is that they were not ours in the first place. the talents and the gifts that have been given to us, they're not ours. He's given it to us. Verse 15. And to one he gave how many talents? 5. And to another, and to one, another one, he gave 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So everybody has got a talent. And it's Father's. It's Jesus's. So let us keep reading. Verse 16 says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained how many more? 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. The talents, however few, are to be put to use. The question that most concerns us is not how much have I received, but what am I doing with that which I have? The development of all our powers is the first duty we owe to God and to our own fellow man. Sometimes we wish we all, with all our hearts, that we had talent in the area we don't have a talent at all. How many of you would like to sing like Sebastian today? That was beautiful. God has blessed you with the gift, and I'm glad you're using it here. I would love to do the same. Or how many of you would like to play an instrument? Yes. And so, I enjoy exercise and activities. And I'm going to tell you a big secret, but don't tell anybody. I am a terrible swimmer. I do not swim well. I used to want to go to the Olympics, but not to watch it, to be a part in it. But honestly, if I jump into the water, I can swim to the shore, no problem. But after 10 seconds, you will have to come and save me. And realistically, I am never going to be an Olympic swimmer. But what I have realized, I'm doing something even better and more. Because my job, my calling, just like everybody else's calling, is to lead people to the one who teaches people how to swim in life. In fact, to the one who helps people walk on the water. And sometimes we are expecting people to have just as many talents as we have. We want them to come to just where we are at, and until they don't get there, they're not good or as important as we are. But aren't you thankful that Jesus came down to us instead of expecting for us to get up to him? He knew we couldn't do it on our own, and therefore, as a loving father, he went after his children. 1 John 4:19 says what? We love because he first... So I looked up, what does the word talent mean? And this is what it came up. Talent means a special natural ability or aptitude. It is a capacity for achievement or success. Whose success? Well, one person's success. So it's based a lot on what I have and what I can do and achieve in my life. But if I was to give a definition for the word talent, here's what it is. This is what it says. Talent is what creates value For whom? For other people. So the very thing that God has given to me is not to put me up on the podium, but to use it for the good of other people. By the atmosphere surrounding us, every person with whom we come in contact is consciously or unconsciously are being affected. I'm in the cafeteria. I had my good meal. I ate really well. But my body says, you gotta have a dessert. You gotta go and get it. So there's a table of sweets. So you go to that table, and you see there's the last piece of cake on that table. Sweet, there it is. But before you get it, you see there's another individual who's walking, you know exactly where he's walking to, and you know exactly what he wants. So you have two options. Option number one, take the cake and run. Eat it, your stomach will be satisfied, but then you might live with a guilty little conscience saying, I should have. And then you do it again. And at the same time, you probably, the other person is thinking, oh, that was my piece of cake. Option number two, you take the piece of cake and you walk towards that person and says, here, I want you to have it. Not, you better have it because I'm sacrificing for you. You don't know what I'm sacrificing right now. But no, it says, you take that cake, I want you to have a good day. Do you see the difference? Anything that we do makes a difference. Thus, by our unconscious influence, thousands may be blessed. Because they are not connected with some directly religious work, many felt that their lives are useless, that they are doing nothing for the advancement for God's kingdom. But this is a mistake. If their work is that which someone must do, they should not accuse themselves of uselessness in the great household of God. The humblest duties are not to be ignored. Any honest work is a blessing, and faithfulness in it may prove a training for higher trusts. However lowly any work done for God with a full surrender of self is as acceptable to Him as the highest service. You didn't have to be a president of something to feel like you have accomplished all these things. All you gotta do is to do the right thing. No offering is small that is given with true-heartedness and gladness of soul. The love that gives kindness to only a few is not love, but selfishness. It will not in any way work for the good of souls or the glory of God. So what's the point if we love people exactly the same as I am? Because if Jesus loved only people who exactly like he is, he would have never came here. But he humbled himself. He came down to our level. And Luke 6, verse 32 says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Hypocrites do the same. Habits. What do we do with our habits? We gotta look at our lives and see what are the good habits and what are the old habits that we need to change. We got to give it to into the hands of Jesus. And I believe it takes 60 days to build a habit. Am I correct? I don't know. 30. And so start today. Unless it's something that interferes with your Sabbath, start tomorrow. But start today, because there's a lot of tomorrows that may never come to us again. Thus, actions repeated form what? And habits form character. And by the character, our destiny for time and for eternity is decided. Only by faithfulness in the big things, in the little things, can the soul be trained to act with fidelity under larger responsibility. What is humility? Humility should always accompany talent. The word humility means to go low. To experience the power of God, you must go under His mighty hand. He didn't say, "Stay on my hand and I will prop you up." He said, "I will put my hand over you." God did not grant you talent for your purposes, but whose purposes? It will be His purposes. Let's go back to chapter 25. The one who received 5 talents, how many talents did he get? 5 more. And the one who had 2 got 2 more. And what did the Lord Master say? "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." What did the individual do with his 1 talent? He hid it. It's comfortable. It's in a warm place where nothing can touch the talent. But what did the Lord say? The Lord was not happy with that person because he didn't invest with the only 1 talent that was given to him by his Lord. Why would you give that person more if he hasn't used even 1? It's God's gift to us. So for those who went to Oshkosh, this picture is very familiar. Because this picture is about the story that everybody memorized from back to forth. But King David, he was anointed to be a king. But instead of going straight into the palace, what did he do? He went back to be a shepherd. He went back to do a regular responsibility of daily lives. Look at his story. David was just a little boy doing his daily duties. And every day he had to face common things of everyday life than you and I do every day. Wash the dishes. Take the trash out. Help your parents to get groceries into the car. So his father is asking him, "David, take this food to your brothers." What if, this is what he would said, "I don't feel like doing it today. I'll do it tomorrow." Maybe it was a weekend and he said, "Well, my brothers could come and get it themselves. And by the way, I am an anointed king. They should be bringing the food to me. I have got no time for that." But when David was asked to do something, even though it was a regular task, he went and did it anywhere. Thousands of times. But that particular day, because he continued on doing that, what happened? And I want to take you to this battlefield. I want you to imagine it. As you go to 1 Samuel verse chapter 17, and I want everybody to go there because it's amazing. David is taking the food to his brothers. And imagine thousands of Philistines are there. Thousands of Israelites scared and afraid. And a big giant, the one that looks big, is they're threatening the name of God. And somebody, a simple boy, who just followed what was right, who wanted to do what's God's will, he walks into this battle to give the food to his brothers, and he hears this blasphemy about his God. And what does he do? We have to read this. Imagine yourself being there. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hand. Every single time I read this story, I get chills. What would happen if all of us projected this level of confidence even before we were certain of the outcome? Yes, I am struggling with my payment this month, but the battle is the Lord's. Yes, I lost a loved one, but he is the resurrection and the life. Yes, I don't know where I'm supposed to go next, but he is the way and has already prepared a path for me. My body is hurting and I have been battling with cancer, but he is a great physician. Yet it hurts me when somebody says something about me. But I will continue on praying for that person, no matter what. For the battle is the Lord's. And as we go, let Southern California know that the Lord is the Lord's battle. David could have never faced a giant. And honestly, you and I face giants on a daily basis. But when we have this confidence in our God, it was this mentality that contributed to David's eventual defeat of Goliath, because he thought like a giant slayer even before he became one. An ordinary mind, well disciplined, will accomplish more and higher work than will the most highly educated mind and the greatest talents without self-control. My question is to you today. What are you doing with the talent that was given to you? That 1, 2, 5 talents. Are we investing it into God's kingdom, who will give us so much more? Or are we hiding it under the bushel? No. Remember, your talent is on the loan from heaven. Let us invest it wisely. And let us help each other, because some people don't know how to invest. I had to learn investing myself. So let us have patience, because spiritual babies can only drink milk. Let us help each other grow. And our God is worth fighting for, because he is fighting my battle. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let us close with a hymnal and let us stand. We're going to sing the hymn number 537, verses 1.